This episode of Distraction is sponsored by Landmark College, offering bachelor's and associate programs, short-term and summer programs for students who learn differently. Learn more at lcdistraction.org. Landmark College, the college of choice for students who learn differently.
And I don't view ADHD as a bad thing either, and this is what I say to kids too. I view it as really this area of brilliance or this different kind of brain that you're trying to figure out how to work with without squelching.
Hello, this is Dr. Ned Halliwell, and welcome to Distraction. Today, I'm thrilled to invite onto the show a new friend, but a woman who has been working in the trenches of life for an awful long time. She is a child psychologist and the author of a wonderful book, memoir, entitled Raising Will, Surviving the Brilliance and Blues of ADHD. It's such a wonderful human story. It's more a book about life than about ADHD, although ADHD does figure into it, but she's Will's mother and the author of the book Raising Will, and she does all sorts of other things, but I told her that I would let her tell whatever she wants to tell. She's a extremely intelligent, extremely kind, extremely accomplished woman, and it's my pleasure to welcome to Distraction Dr. Catherine Kui.
Wow, thank you so much for that introduction. Thank you. Well, unlike you, I got into writing later. I feel like, you know, reading your book, because I come from a crazy family, your writing interest was so early in your career. Mm. And mine came, I wrote and did all kinds of writing, kind of more scientific writing, getting a doctorate. And before my doctorate, I was doing a lot of I did a lot of work in biology and anthropology and social sciences, but I didn't view myself as someone who would write a book at all. Mm. So that's the funny thing about this, is that I started writing this as just a self-help thing to myself. But I've been practicing as a child psychologist for 20 years, and then I have specialized in the area of pediatric neuropsychology. So just really looking in depth at how kids learn, and really the psych part as well as, you know, their emotional development too. So that's what I've been doing for a long time.
Again, for our listeners, neuropsychologist is a subset of psychology. And the want to tell them what a neuropsychologist is?
Sure. Neuropsych, it's been the best thing I could have done as a psychologist, because it is a way of assessing kids more in depth than doing like a standard IQ test. And IQ tests, quite frankly, aren't most of the time that helpful, because usually with our kids, well, they're helpful if you don't look at the full scale as being the end all. But for me, I learned so much about kids, particularly kids with ADHD, all of these aspects of how they learn, where processing speed and working memory, and that really, by looking at their learning, I could then tailor recommendations for their team. Like for our son, for example, really strong verbal skills, but like asking him to copy something from the board. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. You know, right. And that showed up in his neuropsych testing. In fact, it's in my book. My husband is saying to the neuropsychologist, he's like, "What is coding?" And that's the only thing my husband asked, because my son just bombed this subtest. And he, you know, he barely scored like anything on it. And my husband was like, "I need to know, what is this?" And it was a subtest that looks at processing speed. And then knowing that helped a lot in my son's, you know, it helped him throughout school with being able to get certain supports like added time or a lot of the things that we know kids with ADHD need.
Right, right. Well, then why don't you tell us the story of Will by way of telling us the story of Catherine?
Well, so he came into this world, and I came from a family of sisters, And he was a guy that really from the very beginning, I was not sleeping because of this baby wanted to be observing the world. And he really still is a lot like this. He wanted to be facing out and having me kind of march around, walk around in this tiny house we lived in at the time and just like move around with him. So if I was moving, then he was fine. And so like all my baby weight just fell off like immediately. And people were thinking, are you okay? And I'm thinking, I don't know. I can't seem to stop moving. This baby is not really wanting to sleep much, and he's not miserable, but he's just he's blabbing away like in his bed. I mean, he's just alert. And
so this was early.
And I did not suspect ADHD because I didn't know anything about all of this back then. I was just getting my degree.
Right.
But I knew that he was very exhausting. And I was relieved that even people that were like teenagers, I kind of thought, it's not just me. Because people would babysit him and they would be like, how do you do it? And so he was super dear and sweet and articulate and a loving little guy. So not that type where I had all of the tantrums from him, but very, very active. Like he literally climbed his psychiatrist's bookshelf at the day of the diagnosis. He saw something at the top. It was this wooden man that had like the bendable arms and legs, and he didn't say anything to anybody. He just, all of a sudden, he was just up there. So that was our experience with him. And then kindergarten started, and they came to me after that year. We had him in a private kindergarten, and I had a meeting, and the teachers looked very solemn, and they just said that there was something not right. And so they thought he might have autism, like a high-functioning form of autism, just because he wasn't, like, he was at the little pilgrim in the, like, Thanksgiving play, but he was, like, over here when everyone else was over here.
Right.
And then they were saying, and then he was fascinated with the gun mechanics, this little pretend gun they had him slinging over his shoulder. He was knowing all the facts about, like, matchlock guns versus, you know, so there was that kind of fixation part, but he had friends. And so anyway, then he repeated, I had him repeat kindergarten. He did the neuropsych testing. He got the diagnosis and he still wasn't writing his name well or doing any of the things you should be able to do in kindergarten other than his vocabulary was really exceptional. So anyway, he repeated, thank goodness he repeated. Because he just need, and then we had a lot of tutoring, and he's had just a lot of help along the way. I mean, he's still, my husband just was with him in Oberlin visiting him, because he goes to the conservatory as a jazz blues guitarist there, and he's in the college there, and my husband came home, and he's exhausted. He's exhausted. My husband is. So, I mean, that's kind of our experience still is, if you were at a party and you were by Will, he's not like manic acting, but he has a certain energy, which is what I see in people with ADHD. There's this energy about him that, for me, if you met me, you'd be, oh, hi, you know, I kind of remember you. But that's not people's experience with him. So anyway, he's been that way all the way through. We've been working really, really hard to help him, and he's very, very thankful, and and he's a great guy.
So you knew from early on that he had this condition called ADHD.
I thought he did. I pretty much told my husband, I think, when Will was like four. My husband thought that William should be wearing, literally, he thought he should be wearing a helmet when he was like three and four because he fell so often. He would be sitting in his chair in the kitchen, and he'd be talking to us, playing with all his action figures, and then he'd just fall out of his chair because he'd, like, wiggle too much one way. And the next thing you know, he'd be on his back, still talking.
But how did you, at the same time, preserve your vision that there was a lot right with him? Because, you know, you've talked about what was wrong, but clearly, as a mom, you did a lot for him to develop his talents, not just treat his so-called disability.
Well, he is very engaging and loving. kid. Part of it is that he is the kind of kid that his teachers, I mean, he's also gotten in trouble a lot for, like, when he was younger, teachers would, you know, we'll go out in the hall, we'll do
right.
this, as he got older. So his teachers were also very drawn to him, and he was so good with music that even when Will was older and teachers would say, hey, can we talk to you for a second? He had gotten in trouble so much, he would be afraid. But many times they were just wanting to tell him something musical that they were excited about. So I think that he's very bright, and it really never felt like, should I do this? It was always just, what do we need to do? And he had a really horrible teacher first grade, and that was the real low.
Tell us about her. Everyone loves stories about horrible teachers.
Well, every person's name in the book, of course, and no one is who they, you know, I changed all the names.
Right.
But this teacher, what happened is she developed this thing called Fun Friday for students. And if you could follow all the rules, you know, he was the oldest first grader because he'd repeated, but, you know, so you'd think that, you know, that he was also behind with reading. And so kind of everything was still pretty problematic, except he had good friends. But anyway,
don't toss that off. So he had good friends. That's important.
He did. He always has. Yeah. He's maintained his close friends from, like, really young. They're very close. And they're musicians. A lot of them are like him, high energy, quick-witted, quick thinkers. They just did not get in trouble for wandering around. Their symptoms were a lot less. His main thing was he was out of his seat. So she would contact me at the beginning of the year and say, you know, he's singing, you know, it ain't gonna rain no more, or whatever he was doing, you know, and of course I felt for her. You know, my job was to try to help her, and we would say, Will, please. Well, he was already taking medication at this point, and it wasn't working well enough, and the dosage, when we got it higher, he got a tick, and so there was just all kinds of issues that we were trying to address but weren't working. So she had this thing called Fun Friday, and if a student behaved all week, they could participate. Well, almost everyone except about three students a week participated. It was something that was achievable for typical kids. But William never, ever could do it. And, you know, he did not complain much about it. We used to ask him, you know, how did it go? Did you get to be part of Fun Friday? And you know, he would always just avoid the question. He didn't want to talk about it. And then my husband we had a conference with her, and he basically said, how would it be for you if your coworkers were docked in salary because you did something wrong?
Right.
And so he challenged her, and she stopped writing his name on the board and instead did a tally system at her desk. So
great. She was willing to change.
She was willing to change, but not enough that he could participate. And, I mean, this isn't a kid who was calling her names. This wasn't a kid who was defiant. He was unable to remain in his seat. And she did not allow students fidgets or chewing gum, or she didn't know those strategies on how to help.
Oh, boy, so she didn't understand ADD at all?
At all. Period. Like, I would send her art. I would send her things. She would send them back, and she would say, "I think with social, you know, he's such a social kid. If he has enough peer pressure, he will want to be in Fun Friday."
So, well, did your efforts to explain ADHD to her just fell on deaf ears?
Completely. I do believe she thought she was doing him a huge favor. She was just rigid, and I don't believe clearly she didn't understand ADHD. And his next teacher, right away for second grade, she had him doing like things for her in the classroom, and she had him standing by his desk, and she befriended him the first day, this teacher just came to the book launch, and she just adores him. And so, you know, he was a teachable kid, but yes, you really did have to think outside of the box.
That's frustrating when you have a teacher who just doesn't get it.
Oh, and so I wrote a lot of horrible things that are not, I wrote how, you know, a lot of just about how frustrated I was. And of course, none of that really would have ever been good for the book, but it did help me at the time.
Yeah. And what number child was he for you?
He was my first. And so, you know, there's also the extended family dynamic of my mom very much wanting me to raise a son who did things that she felt boys got away with. Like, he needs to write thank you notes. This kid needs to, I hope you don't spoil him. So I had a lot of pressure from, like, extended family not quite getting it either. She both totally gets it now. But really, I had to say to her, I'm not going to talk about if he has the diagnosis anymore, Mom. I refuse. He does. And I know you wish he didn't and that this was a phase or something. But so, you know, I had to do a lot of kind of talking with extended family.
So explaining it to your mother in a context of her, A, not understanding it, and B, wishing he didn't have it, that's pretty tough.
I think she must have wished he didn't have it because she kept thinking it was his fault. She kept saying, he just seems like he's so, like, attention-seeking. But it wasn't like your kid that's like, hey, look at me. I'm not sure. I think she felt bad for me, and she just hoped that it was something that we wouldn't be dealing with.
Did you feel bad for you?
I mean, I wanted her to just accept it. And so,
right.
When I make the diagnosis of ADHD myself, they talk about some of these things with me. Like, my parents don't believe in it. They think that all these kids are medicated. And, you know, I see a lot of rural family. I see people from all over. And I have to say to them, your job is not to make anyone believe that your child has ADHD. You can't do that. You can provide education. You can, but you don't have to take that on.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right. And you can try to educate, you know, not.
Yes. Do educate.
Right. Exactly. And the people say they don't believe in it. You know, I say to them, look, it's not a religious principle. It's not a matter of believing in it or not. I mean, you know, it's like the people who say they don't believe in dinosaurs. I mean, you know, then you just sort of declare yourself as ignorant and proud of it, you know, so.
Right.
You know, And so, you know, we have to try to bring the knowledge we have in a way that other people can receive it.
Yeah, I try to be pretty forgiving because I do think that it is, as much as you and I have been absorbed in, you know, we've been in this world of learning about ADHD for a long time. It is true. I just did a talk and a teacher of many, many years came up to me at the end and said that's the first time she ever knew it was a neurological diagnosis.
So, Catherine, I was saying, so fast forward, tell us where Will is today.
He is a student at Oberlin in Ohio, in the conservatory there. So he's like a bit of a different kind of student because it's jazz. So as Will describes it, he's basically surrounded by a bunch of jazz virtuoso dudes when he's a blues guy.
Uh-huh.
But he's figuring it out. And his instructor, Bobby, who is the head of the jazz department there, he's a guitar jazz guy, is a really good fit for Will. So that's what he's doing. He's learning jazz and playing hard with music and then doing the college too. So that's his story. And my husband just got home and he said, he seems more grown up. He's definitely growing up.
Well, it's a wonderful story, but it's also your story. How do you think it all changed you?
Oh, gosh. Well, first of all, I'm a lot more, there's no way I would have understood ADHD the way I do. And I don't view ADHD as a bad thing either. And this is what I say to kids too. I view it as really this area of brilliance or this different kind of brain that you're trying to figure out how to work with without squelching.
Yes.
And Will is like a tough, he's a guy I'm learning a ton from, and he's also a huge support to me. Like, he kept saying, Mom, you got to just finish this book. You can do it, Mom.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
he really encouraged me.
Wonderful.
Just finish it. And he's been really okay with me when people ask, how is he with you writing this? He's very frank. He doesn't view it as much about him as really about a family.
Well, it is,
and
it's a wonderful story, and I really recommend it to listeners. Raising Will, Surviving the Brilliance and Blues of ADHD. It's beautifully written as well. You're a really good writer, Catherine.
Oh, thank you so much.
All right, well, that's our show for today. We're closing today's episode with some original music from Catherine Kwee's son, Will. Until next time, I'm Dr. Ned Hallowell for Distraction. Distraction is a project of Sounds Great Media. The podcast is recorded and edited by the marvelously talented Pat Keough. And our producer is the extraordinarily talented Sarah Curtin. I just want you.